Start with the, we're going to start about this with the set aside prayer. God, please set aside everything I think I know about you, God, the steps, recovery, the big book, what's best for me, what's best for others, especially let go of all my old ideas so I can live on your truth and see new truth every day. God, help me carry your message today. Amen. Okay, a couple things. Tomorrow night at 6, if you can be here, we're going to be reading page 59 and looking at what it in depth. We're on the How It Works preamble, the three pages that have changed the world, I believe. And so we'll be doing, that's where we are in the big book. On Wednesday night, we've been on 6 and 7 for several weeks, and we're going to finish, probably, I hope we finish, drop the rock on step 7. We are going to look at fear as the activator of our character defects. And we're going to learn about what it means to trust God. And we talked about humility last week, and we had a meeting Friday on it. And I always have to remind myself that the highest office in AA is trusted servant. We're all just trusted servants, and we use our gifts in different ways to serve God and others. Today we're on Carry This Message, and we're looking at the introduction on how to passing on this special gift we have in AA, the 12 steps, how well we're doing it, how well AA is doing it. It's from Joe McHugh's book, Carry This Message, that was written in 2002, so maybe things have changed today, but there's a lot of good information in there. And then I'm praying about it. There's a chapter on sponsorship that follows. Do you think that's something you'd want to hear about next Saturday? I didn't hear any no's, so I guess we'll do it. It's good stuff. We are on page, I don't know, I'm going to pick up on page 6. We covered some of this, but they talk at the top of the page about what percentage of people who go to their first AA meeting get sober. And they, in the foreword to the second or third edition, they talked about 50% or 75%. Well, you can make it anything you want. It depends what you put in the numerator and the denominator. Any of those you remember elementary school? Because you can make the statistics, but I think it's very few. When I look at my phone, I have to edit my phone from time to time. Of all the people I've tried to help who've come here, I bet for every one that's here, I probably deleted 50 names. So many in the 12 years. It's a bad disease. It's a bad disease. And most people never come here. Then the other thing I've noticed is that the numbers have changed because we don't have any pure alcoholics anymore, very few. And we have a lot of bad drugs out there where if you have a bad day, you can die. And so we have a lot of alcoholics, addicts, and the drugs are much more dangerous than they were, very dangerous. It was bad enough when they made OxyContin 80s, but now they had fentanyl, and then they have fentanyl and meth and all heroin and synthetic heroin, and it's bad. We've had a lot of people die that I've known in the last year or two. He talks about in the first paragraph, they're not afraid many groups are not using the big book as they once did. There are plenty of discussion meetings in this town where there's not even a big book. They'll have the reflections or meditations, but they don't even have a big book. I'm not saying that's good or bad. Then he talks about, at the bottom, an entire meeting may center around people discussing their problems. Have you ever been to a meeting where that happens? I think I've noticed that if you go to a discussion meeting, if they read out of the big book, the meetings tend to center around the program and recovery. If they read something else, sometimes it goes in tangents. And I used to remember people would say, my sponsor told me to come here and I need to talk about my problems. Of course, the sponsor isn't here to listen to him. And it's fine. I don't know if that's good or bad, but we need to talk about the solution. And if you have problems, then you say, I have a problem. Can somebody talk to me afterwards and share the solution for that problem with them? It says, we are compelled by step 12 to carry this message. And it says, we have a step that answers any problems we have. Who solves all of our problems? God. And so, remember, all of our steps lead us to the relationship with God that Harold was talking about. And it says, people have had a spiritual experience that results from these steps, want to share their experience. It's something you can't help but try to carry the message to others. And it says, how, and then you're supposed to really tell how you establish a relationship with God. It says on the next page, 7, we're fighting a tide of other information, other approaches. The only AA plan is the Big Book plan. That's true. AA only has one plan of recovery. It's not suggested that you do the plan of recovery. It's suggested that this is their plan of recovery. There's a difference. There's a big difference. If you have an AA suggested plan of recovery, it's the 12 steps. I do suggest that you do it. Your life will be better, but it doesn't suggest that you do it. It just suggests that this is their plan. Now, if you want what they had and are willing to go to any length to get it, then we suggest that you do the 12 steps. And then somebody made the point last week. It's very subtle. I hope you guys can understand this. It's a 12-step program. It's suggested that you do 12 steps. 6 steps gets you 6 steps. It doesn't get you 12 steps. And I heard something this week. I've been listening to scripture. And this one Scottish minister talks the program all the time. I don't think he realizes it. But he was saying the other day that all human beings are spiritually needy. Just like that's what Dr. Young wrote Bill W., that we all have a longing for God. We're all spiritually needy, and that's why I never felt okay. And we feel that spiritual need. And he said he used the example cocaine and alcohol and money and prestige and things like that. And he said what we need, nobody's going to change until they get spiritually hungry. And that's what I thought about here. You know, people come and we know they're spiritually needy, but are they spiritually hungry? Do they hunger and thirst for righteousness? And then he talked about, of course, it was New Testament, how Jesus said he's the bread of life. And if you read that in John 6, it's very powerful. And I thought about that. We're spiritually needy. Am I spiritually thirsty today? And we talk about that. Are you doing your prayer? Are you doing your meditation? Are you inventory? What are you doing today? Are you seeking God? Or are you seeking other things and blocking God out? And so that made a lot of sense to me. It says, if you understand the plan of the Big Book, you realize it's simple and that nothing is more effective. I don't know that they can say that, but I do know it is effective. If you follow the 12-step plan, I think your life has to change. And I heard somebody say, if you do everything in chapter 5 and 6 all the time, you'll never drink or use again if you keep doing it. And I think that's true. Now, don't try to prove me wrong. And it says, and it's only effective if you do it. Reading the book and studying and self-knowledge won't help me. It's action that's going to change us, right? We talk about that all the time. He talks about that there's a trend for big book studies. I know there is in Topeka. When the time this book was written, there was one book study. It was at a group's home on a Thursday night. Other than that, there were no big book studies. There were a lot of discussion meetings at restaurants. We've closed a lot of restaurants down in Topeka, but only one big book study. And that's why I started the Prince of Peace meeting in 2004 or 2005, so that we could read the book. it was good. We read the book, but we didn't really teach it. And we would read all of the How It Works chapter of one meeting and say, that's really good stuff. That's really good. I like this line. Brian remembers, he was there. And so when I suggested that maybe we would have a seminar type meeting, they threw me out. And I'm joking, but they didn't want to do that. So they still have their meeting, which is fine. That's why I started the Wednesday night, so I wouldn't compete with the Thursday night big book study. And it's all good. But I think there's more emphasis now. We had the big book seminar here in Topeka, and we had Bob D. come for 2 days. And I think there's people are getting back to the book. It says the he says he's seen alcoholics and addicts from rough, seemingly hopeless situations pull themselves together, become happy, productive people. They hold jobs. They help other people. The program in the big book is still changing lives, and it's still changing me. I think I'm different today than I was a year ago. And I see people today, I wrote, who are sober, and I remember when they came in. And it's not about me, I wrote, it's about God and the message. And we're all just trusted servants. He talks about losing old timers. I don't know if that's true or not. It says, we all love Alcoholics Anonymous. It saved our lives. Some of the principles have gotten lost. We've started losing the message. We started losing the fellowship. I don't think that's true. I think we're losing the power of the fellowship. And there's only one fellowship talked about in the big book, and that's the fellowship of the Spirit. And I think we have the spirit of the fellowship, and people love AA and the meetings and the camaraderie, but we want to be in the fellowship of the Spirit, seeking God together. And that's the power. And I think it depends. Somebody said there are two books in AA. There's the not drinking book in the textbook and the God book. And the people who are reading the not drinking book, they like the spirit of the fellowship. And the people who are reading the God book, I think they like the fellowship of the Spirit. And he makes the point that very few people ever go from reading the God book to the not drinking book. But over time, a lot of the not drinking book readers will turn to the God book. And that's the power of the fellowship. I don't know if that made any sense, but it says, step 12 said, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of the, and then ask yourself, what spirit, what fellowship are you in? And then I heard the speaker we talked about the other night when we talked about humility. Who are you hanging around? Or is the person you're going to become? And who are you hanging around? Are you hanging around with people who are in the fellowship of the Spirit or the spirit of the fellowship? Who are you? Not good or bad, but think about it. What are you reading? Who are you talking to? Who are you working with? Having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, it says we tried to carry this message to alcoholics. Remember the original book, it was to others, especially alcoholics, and to practice these principles in all our affairs. I think we talk a lot about carrying the message in 12-step work, but to practice our principles in all our affairs is not emphasized enough. That's the deal. And I think we're going to be studying to wives, to employers, to family afterwards, vision for you, and there's those chapters are really devoted to practicing the principles in all your affairs. So the key is keeping yourself, what is this message? And here he says there should be no controversy about what this message is. Having had a spiritual awakening as the result of the steps. It's the only result we talk about in AA. The result of the 12 steps, doing them, is the spiritual awakening. And a lot of people wonder what a spiritual awakening means. It means you're awake to a power greater than yourself that can direct your life, that you can trust and have faith in and go to. And you know that because it's done it. And we say, God is doing for me what I cannot do for myself. And Harold described that, and others can do it. And I can talk to you about it in my life all the time. And can you describe how you obtain the spiritual awakening? That's the key. Can you tell a new person? We're going to look at that. That's the key. When you choose a sponsor, Ask the sponsor, if you had a spiritual awakening, have you achieved that? And can you help me down that path? And can you describe what is your spiritual awakening? He writes that in order to carry this message, you must have worked the steps yourself and had a spiritual awakening as a result. So I think if you're in the fellowship of the Spirit, you go to that, you're going to find people who are going to take you to the steps. If you're in the spirit of the fellowship, you may not be in that type where you can find somebody who's done the steps. In the preamble, he says, if you've taken these steps and have gotten results, please share your experience. If you have not taken these steps, please be willing to listen. That might be something, because I go to a lot of discussion meetings now at noon just to get out of the house. I'm retired. And my wife's had enough of our togetherness. And I hope she doesn't listen. She's coming tonight, by the way. I'm nervous. Some people, you'll hear them rambling, and they go on, and you can tell they've never worked the steps. And sometimes maybe we should announce that. But if it helps them and we listen, who knows? It's all in God's hands. Beyond our meetings, we carry this message through the sponsorship of others. Chapter 7, the big book, Working with Others, is devoted entirely to carry this message. Brian made a really good point. It's really subtle. But if you're going to work with others, you might want to read the chapter, right, Brian? He's not listening. He's not paying attention. All right, Brian's not working with others. I just talked about you and you were blabbering. I said if you're going to read, work with someone, read Working with Others. Good. All right. I love Brian. He's one of my heroes. It's devoted entirely. It tells you what to do and when to do it. It also tells you what not to do. Isn't it amazing? It's right in there. It's like I didn't want to do to wives at this meeting because I figured, well, you know, quote it. I don't know. I had an old idea. So somebody said, why don't you do it? I didn't have a good reason. So we started doing to wives and all those other. I did a vision for you. I thought that was okay. You know, I'd made a decision. And of course, it was an old idea, and To Wise has really changed my life more than almost any other chapter. It's so powerful because it really describes alcoholism, and it tells us how to practice the principles in all affairs, and especially in the family afterwards as well. Dr. Young told Roland Hazard, I believe that every human being has an inner search for wholeness. I agree. I've never been able to, and we seek it in other things. I've never been able to help a person who found their wholeness in alcohol. And that's where I think the surrender has to come in, that people have to surrender that alcohol is never going to fix my spiritual wholeness. And I have to look for something else, and I have to give up. It requires a power greater than human power. I think God created us with that emptiness, so we would find it has to be filled by spirituality. I wrote, my wholeness is only in God. It's never going to be in anything else but God. And I wrote, do I want to live in harmony with God or disharmony? And I wrote, spiritual malady is only treated with the spiritual experience. And somebody said last week that we have spiritual depression when we come to AA. Anybody have that? And if you go to treatment now, you get a medicine for that. You get Zoloft or something else. They're dangerous drugs. I don't understand how they can just prescribe medicines to people and then they don't follow them up. But he's made a point, you can't treat a spiritual depression except with a spiritual solution. And that's what they're talking about in AAA. He wrote, sponsorship has become more the friendship than it was in the early days. There's a lot of emphasis on socializing. There's nothing wrong with it. But he says, if friendship comes first, sponsors might not feel as free to say things that need to be said. That's probably true. I want people to like me. So I get upset if I think that the sponsee doesn't like me, which is ridiculous. They're dying. And so, but you know, I have my people pleasing and, you know, it doesn't go away. And so we have to set boundaries. And that, over time, I've been able to set boundaries better. Mutual respect should be the relationship. We need to spend our time helping people work the steps. We need to be more aware of what A is and what it is not. You hear a lot of things at meetings, you know, 90 meetings in 90 days, triggers, groups, self-analysis, self-awareness. Somebody talked about you have to have self-forgiving before you can work the steps. All sorts of slogans, and I don't know if they're good or bad, but it's not AA. But I do like the comment on trigger. The biggest trigger for an alcoholic is being awake. If you're awake and you're an alcoholic, you're in trouble. Yeah, I mean, I don't. People talk about triggers who've never read the big book, because I'm not going to say, "Oh, here comes a trigger." I'm not going to drink over this. I mean, you know, it sounds intellectually good if you're not an alcoholic. If you're a counselor and you're not an alcoholic, it may make sense. But to the alcoholic, hello, we're awake. It says, I think some people quit drinking, work some of the steps, and start sponsoring. He writes, but if you haven't had a spiritual awakening, can't carry this message to other people. You cannot transmit something you haven't got. You can't take them down the A12-step path if you haven't done it yourself. Now, I do think, and we've talked about this, you may not have done the 12 steps great. Who knows? We don't judge. You're not going to be on CNN and people are going to call in, did you do the 12 steps right? 50% say yes, 50%. No, but like we've talked, if you work with others, you're going to be doing the 12 steps. And the more you work with other people, the better you're doing your four step, because you see yourself in all of it. You see your character defects, you see your fears, you admit to another person, you do six and seven better, you're in eight and nine, you're looking at amends you may have not made. So the more you work the steps with someone else, the more you're working the steps. That's why if you're not sponsoring someone, are you, you know, what is your program? And then if you seek to work the steps out of the book, that's why I recorded the site. Somebody wanted to, they wanted me to record this. I said, why? And the ones who wanted me to record it, this is a good story, because they could listen if they weren't here. Well, they never listen. But then God put Lal in my life, right, Lal? And Lal put it on WordPress, and Chris W. came here, and he had done websites. So I said, what the heck? It's $40 a month. It may help somebody. But you can listen to the big book, you know, and so it may help somebody. So the first qualification of sponsorship is to have worked the steps yourself. I know a lot of people like to tell me who their sponsor is, and they say, well, I have so-and-so, and he has 25 years. And like, that's going to make them a better sponsor or not, I don't know. I like the grand sponsor. I've got the sponsor. I was thinking about that today. It's like some spiritual thing is passed down. And, you know, hello, it's a day at a time. You know, we're all God's kids. We're all walking together. Remember, we walk together hand in hand down the path. And so it says, we say this, a program of attraction. And so we often place the emphasis on sobriety, but that isn't the goal of this program. The goal of the program is a spiritual awakening. I think the goal of the program is emotional sobriety, which we're going to talk about on Wednesday night. And if you're emotionally seeking emotional sobriety, you have a spiritual awakening, because the only people who are going to seek emotional sobriety are the ones who are seeking God, who have the humility that they know they need God in their lives. And they need more than just not drinking, because then they're left with the rest of their character defects, and are they working six and seven? And the spiritual awakening does change our lives. It produces a personality change sufficient to make me recover. And then I have to keep seeking God to keep producing a personality change that's sufficient to recover. My personality never gets permanently changed. Anybody have a permanent change? Please, give me your blood. Because we're always in self, right? We're back in self, or we're back in God, and the personality change. But the spiritual awakening keeps us aware of that, so we know when we need to change our personality. And it says, they will be. This is our message. He says, there's some miserable people attending AA. These people are just not drinking. The big book tells us the tools of our program will enable us to enter a fourth dimension, to live better lives than most other people on earth. But too often we settle for not drinking. Grady and I, we have some character defects. And so when somebody drives us crazy and they say something in AA or they're on our case, we say to each other, they need to do a four-step. I don't know if that makes sense. Brian and I talked about that the other day. I can't get involved in other people's resentments or their nonsense or their criticism. I don't have to take it on. Does that make sense? And if there's something I need to look at, I need to do my inventory. But we've had a lot of people always telling me what I should be doing differently and this and that and all. And I used to really feel bad. Oh, I better change. And then I say, well, you know, maybe that's not true. I remember calling Brian one time. It was years ago. You probably don't remember this. But there was a guy who wanted me to stop doing the meeting. Remember, Brian? And he wanted to do a different meeting from somebody in Dallas who had another book, and he was really excited about that. And he told me, no, you got to stop doing the meeting. So I came home, and I said to my wife, oh, so-and-so doesn't want me to do the meeting anymore. This was after about a year, year and a half. I said, oh, I better stop doing the meeting. He says I talk too long. I said, well, I got to make him happy. So my wife says, well, why are you going to do that? I said, I don't know. So she says, call Brian. So I called Brian, and Brian said, no, keep doing the meeting. You remember that? Yeah. So Brian's the one to blame. So there you go, Brian.
We did the Dallas book on another meeting.
Yeah, the Dallas book was, it was great. Anyway, I'm getting off here. We will finish this. We celebrate. If we're to carry the message, we have to be reminded what a powerful message it is. The message is that if your life is a mess and you can't stop drinking and using and you're fighting everybody and everything, we have a way of life that works. We have a way of life that can produce peace and serenity and a power in your life that you can handle calamity with serenity. Who wouldn't want that, right? And how well we carry the message, really, it depends, the existence of the fellowship and lives depend on it. And we have to remember that. Then real briefly, I don't do anything briefly, but that was funny, somebody laughed. This is what Brian was talking about, all the instructions, and they wrote them all out here. So if you're gonna work with someone, you might wanna read this. Find out all you can about the prospect. Don't deal with him when he's drunk. Never force yourself on him. Place the book where he can see it. See him alone. Tell him enough about your own drinking to encourage him to speak of himself. Do not yet tell him what you did to recover. Describe yourself as an alcoholic. Now, I think it's important that you understand what makes you an alcoholic. And I think it's important with the new guy that he understand what makes him an alcoholic, and they're going to get to that. Tell him about the struggles to stop. Show him the queer mental twists which led to the first drink. Be careful not to brand him as an alcoholic, but doesn't mean you can't tell him that. If he thinks he can still control his drinking, tell him that if that's possible, he's not too alcoholic. He can recover on his own. But if he can't, tell him to reach out to you. Speak of alcoholism as an illness. It's a spiritual illness that only a spiritual experience can conquer. Tell him about the conditions of the mind and the body. You know, your obsession of the mind, your allergy of the body. Let him ask you how you got well. I wish somebody would ask me that. They never ask you that, the new people. They never ask, what do I need to do? Maybe somebody will. Maybe they did, I forgot. Tell him exactly what happened to you. Make it clear that he does not have to agree with your concept of God, but suggest that he have a concept that makes sense to him, right? Especially at 3 a.m. Let him see that you're not destructive in religion. Outline the program of action. Can you do that? Can you do that with somebody? Make it clear that he's under no obligation to see you again if he doesn't want to. Do not contradict his defensive views. Tell him about the fellowship and offer to lend him your book. Give him a chance to think it over. Do not crusade. I have to remember that. Do not talk down to him. I mean, it's important. We have to be on an equal relationship. Show him how the steps work for you. There, that's when you start to tell him about what you did. Offer him friendship and fellowship. Tell him if he wants to get well, you will do anything to help. I will keep the door always open. I have people not show up. We're supposed to meet before the meeting. I always send them a text. Tell them I love them. Know that I'm here. Call me. I'll help you in any way I can. if he wants you to be a banker or a nurse, you may drop him. And somebody pointed that out. I think it was Brian yesterday. Brian's really popular today. That we're not the marriage counselor, right? We're not their lawyer. I'm not their doctor. I'm not their financial advisor. I'm just someone who suffers from alcoholism, who's trying to have a relationship with God and do what we did. Tell him what we did. If he wants to see you again, ask him to read the big book. If he thinks he can do the job some other way, encourage him to follow his own conscience. If he asks for a second visit, that was all in the first visit, by the way, has read the book, is ready to go through the 12 steps, offer to give him practical advice. If he doesn't want the program, you may offer it to his family. That reminds me, we have Al-Anon starting Tuesday night at 7 o'clock here, and if any of you have wives or in a relationship, it's a great group. And encourage them to come. Make sure he understands that he can recover in spite of anyone. Remember, his dependence has to be on God, job or no job. You won't get sober as long as you put anything ahead of God. Do not participate in family quarrels. That's a good one. And never show intolerance or hatred of drinking as an institution. So I hope this was helpful. This is a really, really powerful book. You can get it on Amazon. If you want to sponsor somebody, get the book, read it. Read it with your sponsee. I'll shut up now. Thank you.
Thanks, Michael.